This episode is brought to you by Anchor, so stay tuned later in the episode for a short ad. All of us know the name Julius Caesar. Father, husband, Roman dictator, famous Shakespeare play, and assassinee. And yes, that is a word. I checked. My name is Desmond Anderson, and I'd like to welcome you to the first episode of No Fear, History and Legends. In this episode, we'll be talking about Caesar, a little on who he was, what he did, and why he was assassinated. We'll also briefly touch on the Ides of March, and what exactly it was before being associated with the death of the dictator. Gaius Julius Caesar was born around July 13th, 100 BC, to Aurelia Cotta and Gaius Julius Caesar, the older one. Caesar's family claimed to be direct descendants from the goddess Venus through Aeneas, a Trojan prince, and his son, Iulus. Caesar's family wasn't very important, though. They weren't wealthy or particularly influential, even though in the past, the Caesar family had been nobility. His uncle, Gaius Marius, was a famous Roman general, so he did have that going for him. At age 16 in 85 BC, Caesar became head of his family following his father's sudden death, and he was placed smack in the middle of a civil war that involved his uncle and current Roman ruler, Lucius Cornelius Sulla. This war ultimately ended in Marius' defeat. During the war, Caesar had gotten married, and he had had a daughter. Sulla demanded that Caesar divorce his wife. He refused, went into hiding, and after his family talked to Sulla, was stripped of his inheritance, which, if you ask me, was better than the alternative, which was being killed. By 69 BC, Julius was a quaestor of a Roman province, and by 67 BC, he had remarried after his first wife died. His second wife, Pompeia, was a granddaughter of Sulla and relative to Pompey the Great, which led to a very important alliance between the two men. In 65 BC, Caesar became a Roman magistrate, called Aedil, and began endearing himself to the public at his own financial risk. 2 years later, he was elected Pontifex Maximus, the chief high priest of Rome. Now, Caesar's been getting pretty important, and it looked like things were going to keep going up for him, as his political life continued to just flourish. In 59 BC, he was elected senior consul with the support of his now ex-father-in-law, Pompey, and Marcus Licinius Crassus, the richest man in Rome. The three men formed the first triumvirate, in which the three of them ruled as co-consuls, as opposed to the usual two consuls that used to rule ancient Rome. The Roman Senate began to worry that these three men, when ruling together, were too powerful and could eventually prove unstoppable. And they were right. Soon, the triumvirate controlled Rome. Soon, the three of them started to resent each other. Caesar's successes in the political and martial spheres soon made Pompey tense, and it strained his relationship with Crassus. In 53 BC, Crassus was killed, and Pompey was left the lone consul in Rome, as Caesar was busy conquering in Gaul. Pompey, pretty stressed because his wife died and now Crassus has died and left him completely alone in Rome, eventually aligned with Caesar's enemies and told him to come home. Unsurprisingly, Caesar refused, and this ignited a civil war between his supporters and Pompey's supporters. This wasn't a war that anyone wanted, least of all Caesar and Pompey themselves. Almost every citizen of Rome wished for a quick and peaceful end, and neither Caesar nor Pompey could see a way out of it without fighting each other, as Pompey was going to lose face with the nobility he had aligned himself with if he were to face Caesar again, but Caesar was being accused of trying to grab all the power, so unless he gave up completely, that was what he was going to eventually have to do. Eventually, Caesar pursued Pompey with his armies into Spain, then Greece, and then into Egypt, where he was killed by Ptolemy VIII on September 28th, 48 BC. Now, Rome was down 2 out of 3 consuls, and Caesar still wasn't coming home. He was still fighting in Egypt, except this time he was fighting a civil war to help his lover Cleopatra overthrow her brother, the aforementioned Ptolemy VIII. He continued wiping out enemies over the next few years, including what was left of Pompey's supporters in the Middle East and Egypt. In 46 BC, he was named dictator for 10 years and started making a lot of changes to benefit the lower and middle classes of Rome. If you'll recall, Caesar himself came from a lower class family and had been stripped of whatever inheritance he was going to assume when he was much younger. So these moves only made sense. It was pretty on brand for him to help those who were less fortunate within Rome. One of the things he did included creating the Julian calendar, which is the basis of the calendar we use to this day. The calendar we use today is called the Gregorian calendar, and it has just a few tweaks to the Julian calendar. He'd been pretty spot on with it. In 44 BC, Julian declared himself dictator perpetus, or dictator for life. This didn't really sit well with most of Rome, especially her politicians. The senators didn't want a man vying for absolute power to become a king, and that was when the plan to kill Caesar was hatched, led by Cassius Longinus. The Ides of March takes place on March 15th every year. The original Roman calendar, which consisted of 10 months instead of our current 12, started on Martius, or March. This calendar was based on the lunar cycle, as opposed, once again, to our calendar, which is based on the solar cycle. And the dates were related to the lunar phase of that time of the month. The calends, shortened to cal, which represented new moons. The nones was shortened to non, which represented half moons. And the ides, shortened to ide, which referred to full moons. The ides took place on either the 13th or the 15th of every month. The Ides of March was the first full moon of every new year. Between 222 and 153 BC, this also marked the beginning of the new consular year, in which new consuls were elected, which made Caesar's death kind of ironic. The Ides of March was also a time for celebration and festivities, as it was what we would call today the New Year. It was a time when people would ring in the new year and hope for riches and happiness and anything that they might need during this new year. So on March 15th, 44 BC, just 3 days before he was scheduled to leave Rome to fight in a war, Roman senators had surrounded Julius Caesar in Pompey's theater. Yet another layer of irony for the dictator. Each senator held daggers, and Senator Servilius Casca struck the first blow, hitting Caesar in the neck and drawing first blood. 60 senators were part of the conspiracy, even though Caesar only came out with 23 stab wounds. One of the senators involved was Caesar's protege himself, Marcus Brutus. While Shakespeare wrote in The Tragedy of Julius Caesar that Julius screamed, "Et tu, Brute," or "You too, Brutus," he is actually said to have said, "You too, my child," in Greek. It is also said that prior to entering Pompey's theater, he had been handed a note that he hadn't read all day. Some people believe that this note had said, "Beware the Ides of March." Now, the general public of Rome at this time quite liked Caesar, even going so far as to call him Rex, meaning king, shortly before his assassination, to which he is reported as saying, "I am Caesar, not Rex." So this assassination didn't sit very well with them. He'd been helping them. He'd been supporting a lot of them, including the plebeians. And to see him die was a pretty big blow. The Ides of March in 44 BC is often regarded as the fall of the Roman Republic, as civil wars began to ignite and Caesar's grandnephew and successor, Octavian, later known as Augustus, was hell-bent on getting revenge for his uncle and eventually naming himself emperor, creating the first moment of the Roman Empire. Oh, and if you're wondering what happened to Cassius and Brutus, they killed themselves 2 years later after learning that Octavian's forces had beaten theirs at the Battle of Philippi in Greece. If you liked this episode, make sure to check out more as we begin to put them out. If you want longer episodes or have anything to say, feel free to email any suggestions you have or things you want me to cover in future episodes to nofearhistoryandlegends@gmail.com. That is nofearhistoryandlegends, the same way it's spelled right here, @gmail.com. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll see you guys next time.